Good morning, everyone. Well, this is the last time I'm probably going to be speaking with you, and I pray you enjoy this message. I hope it's a gift to you and that you'll be blessed. I want to thank you for contributing to our video ministry, and we'll be leaving in about 2 weeks, so we hope to say goodbye to you all. It's been wonderful being part of this church. We're really going to miss you guys very, very much. I'd like to get into the lesson and use the time well. Since last I spoke to you, I made two videos and they went online, and I want you to know that about 60,000 young people ended up seeing them, and the Facebook statistics show that they're aged between 18 and 24, which is pretty exciting. That's the age group we're actually going for. And you know, our videos are about educating. We want people to watch online. This is our website, newheartandmind.com. The point of the videos is we want young people to make better decisions, especially regarding to God. So please share these videos. But this morning I'm going to do something a little bit different. You today are my guinea pigs. You're my test audience. I'm working on a new video, and I want to kind of put it across to you, see how you respond, and from there I'd like to make the video. It's going to be very challenging. It's about religious freedom, and specifically about the 501c3 Johnson Amendment. Now, this final message to you, dear church, is very close to my heart. When I first came to the USA about 6 years ago, I didn't know much about your country. And I have really come to love this country. I am so sad to have to leave. And my final message of encouragement to you as Christians is, stand. Be salt and light socially and politically. Do not back down. And one of the key reasons I'm asking this is, what happens in the USA affects the rest of the world. God has raised this nation as a leader nation. And being a leader nation means you have responsibilities because you influence the world. So this lesson is about religion and politics. Now, some people say we shouldn't speak about it. And I say, why? They give many answers. And one of the answers to why we should not speak about religion and politics, people say, is the Johnson Amendment. If churches talk about politics, people say, you could lose your tax-exempt status. Do you know that people did not used to have these fears? It's only since about the 1960s, when the Johnson Amendment, the 501c3 Johnson Amendment, came into play. And for those who don't know what that is, I'll explain that in a few minutes. But first, let's look back to a time when religion and politics were not so separate. To me, one of the great American heroes is Martin Luther King Jr. People often refer to him as Dr. Martin Luther King, but they forget his other title, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., because he was a preacher. And many of his speeches addressing the political issues of racial inequality were actually sermons spoken in churches. And on the other hand, many of his political speeches quoted the Bible. Just think about his famous I Have a Dream speech. Do you know it quotes the Bible? For example, listen to this. And I'm going to read this, and I have not got a golden voice like his. I love his voice. But as I speak, try to imagine Martin Luther King saying this. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Do you know where that comes from? That's Bible, Amos 5 verse 24. Here's another part of his I Have a Dream speech. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. That's Isaiah 40, verse 5. So Martin Luther King, He preached politics in churches and quoted Bible in political speeches. He mixed it up completely, and no one was afraid of losing their tax-exempt status. There was a freedom about politics and churches until the 501c3 Johnson Amendment. Now let's be honest. You know it's impossible to keep politics out of religion. And the reason is because politics keeps stepping into religion's domain. For example, government makes a law to define marriage, but no, God already did that back in the book of Genesis. That is the church's domain that politics is stepping into. Here's another one. Government makes rules regarding when life begins. No, again, that is religion. That is the church's domain, not government. And there are many other examples like this. The reality is, church and politics, their lines often blur, because we live in a real world with constant moral questions. And to be frank, politicians are not qualified to answer these moral questions. But God's church is. And Martin Luther King used church morality to change a bad political system. That religious freedom existed back then, before the 501c3 Johnson Amendment brought fear to many churches. Now, your American founders knew that freedom of religion, specifically Christianity, was essential in making the idea called America a reality. Let's look at the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson. We read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." So the founding document for a new nation, for a new political system, is based on what self-evident truths? That rights are given by the Creator, by God. Don't miss this. Your country is founded on rights not given by government, that can be taken away by government, but given by God. And one of the rights that God has given is the freedom of religion. Now listen carefully. In the last few years, a new phrase has come up. You hear people talking about freedom of worship. They are trying to limit your religion to a certain place and a certain time in the week. But your constitution doesn't talk about freedom of worship. It's freedom of religion. You are free to live it wherever. It's a God-given right that government has no right to take away. Now let's look at some more quotations from Jefferson. And I'm picking on Jefferson because people say he was godless. Well, he did have some ideas that do not fit in with most mainline churches, but he was not a godless man. Look at this quotation. Jefferson said, he's asking a question. "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God?" These words are profound. He said, "A nation's liberties are only secure when people know that God gifted them with these liberties." Now, why is it so important that a nation be convinced that their liberties come from God? Let's think about it a little. How do you feel towards someone who has given you a fantastic gift? Grateful, right? So imagine a nation of people who are grateful to God for their liberties. Do you think this nation will be good and moral? Yes, of course. Jefferson said this is what makes a nation secure and strong. To underscore this, let's imagine the opposite. What is the opposite of a grateful people? Well, an ungrateful, selfish people. People who don't believe in God or don't believe in a God who gives good gifts. Now, if people don't believe in a gracious God, and many don't because there's much anti-God talk these days, then what is one left with? If there's no God taking care of me, then it's me first. I must take care of myself, and that leads only to Darwinian survival of the fittest. What will become of a nation of people who believe only in me first and survival of the fittest? It's chaos. And the only way the government can keep control is by making more and more laws. We see this happening. And hiring more and more police. And eventually, this leads to martial law, where all liberties and all freedoms are gone. Jefferson knew America needed God to survive. And he wasn't alone. Let me share something that happened about 2 weeks ago. In Arkansas, a man drove his truck into the Ten Commandments memorial on the Capitol lawn. And in true modern-day style, he Facebook live-streamed it. And as he drove his truck, he screamed, "Freedom!" I'm sorry, but what a fool. Why do so many people believe that freedom equals anarchy? You know, the Chinese have an interesting proverb. It goes, "A kite without a string will not fly." And in the same way, freedom without responsibility will not fly. It doesn't work. Freedom is not the ability to do anything you want. Rather, freedom is the ability to do what is good. Why? Because good people take care of their neighbors. And when you have a nation of good people using their freedom for good, the result is peace and freedom for all. Now here's an important question. Please think about this. We need nations to be good, right? Now who is going to teach the nations what is good? The schools? No, it's not working. The media? You can forget that. Government? It's not happening. Only the church is qualified. And America needs a strong, vocal church being salt and light. And when the church does not step up, disaster follows. John Adams, your second president, look what he said. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." You know, he was right. If you remove the salt and light influence of the church from America, the whole system grinds to a halt. And we see it happening all around us. The family is falling apart. You have children who are totally confused. The education system is failing. The courts are in gridlock. The jails are overcrowded. And Washington's just going nowhere. God's church is the only solution. Look what Samuel Adams said. He's the father of the American Revolution. He said, "Let statesmen and patriots unite their endeavors to renovate the age by educating their little boys and girls and leading them in the study and practice of the exalted virtues of the Christian system." And the result was what? America flourished with speed and success like possibly no nation before and definitely like no nation since. Now, a lot of you know I spent 8 years in China doing mission work. And every now and then a Chinese person would come to me and say this. It was really interesting. They would say, "China is 5,000 years old and America is less than 250 years old. How did America become so great so quickly?" And my only answer was, God. And we shouldn't be surprised. When we do things God's way, we will be blessed. Look at the scripture from Deuteronomy 4 verse 6. God is speaking to Israel. Look what he says. Observe my laws carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For most of its history, the world has been in awe of America. Sadly, it's become less so over the past few decades. But I want to share something. This is a writing by a man called John Stormer, a historian. And he wrote about a man called Alexis de Tocqueville, who came to the United States back in the 1800s to try understand why America was so great. I'm going to read this quotation. A French philosopher, Alexis de Tocqueville, he came to the United States to learn what magic quality enabled a handful of people to defeat the mighty British Empire twice in 35 years. He looked for the greatness of America in her harbors and rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, mines, and other natural resources. He studied America's schools, her Congress, and her matchless Constitution, but without comprehending America's power. Not until he went into the churches of America and heard pulpits aflame with righteousness did he understand the secret of her genius and strength. De Tocqueville returned to France and wrote, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Only the church is qualified to teach America what is good, because the church is the place where God has chosen to let his spirit and truth reside. And if you think I'm putting too much into this point, please look at 1 Timothy 3:15. We read there that the church, God's family, is the pillar and foundation of truth. Think about it. What does a pillar do? It holds things up. And in this scripture it says, the pillar holds up the truth. That is the work of the church. We are to be salt and light, holding up the truth. So history shows in thousands of blatant examples that the church in America was involved in politics. But what changed? Something muzzled the church. Let's talk now about the Johnson 501c3 amendment. Now history shows that this restriction was championed by Lyndon B. Johnson before he became president. He was opposed by a conservative non-profit group, not a church group, and he responded by introducing an amendment to the 501c3 federal tax code that dealt with tax-exempt charitable organizations. And basically the amendment says this: if you want to be exempt from paying taxes, you cannot be involved in partisan politics. I'll say it again. If you want to be exempt from paying taxes, you cannot be involved in partisan politics. So how does this affect churches? Well, most U.S. churches are 501c3 organizations. So today, as a result of the Johnson Amendment, many churches are afraid to speak about politics because they're afraid they're going to lose their tax-exempt status. And I'm going to share something with you right now that is absolutely shocking. There is no law that requires a church be classified as a 501c3 non-profit organization. There is no law compelling a church to be classified as a 501c3 organization. And you can find this information on the IRS website, where it specifically says that churches are organizations that are exempt automatically from 501c3. Churches automatically are tax exempt. Again, churches do not have to become 501c3 organizations. And you know, it makes sense, because the church in America existed before the IRS. In fact, threatening to revoke a church's tax-exempt status is illegal, because it goes against the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Dear American brethren, your founding fathers made this amendment because they knew the church had to be independent from the government in order to keep America good. But still, the Johnson Amendment was made to apply to churches, and it has silenced too many Christians. And America has suffered, and the world has suffered, because God's pillar, the church, is not holding up the truth. Now here is a great irony. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus spoke about taxes, and he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Please don't miss this. The 501c3 Johnson Amendment is a tax law, and we Christians are generally law-abiding citizens. And so we mistakenly believed that we had to become 501c3 organizations. And so we muzzled ourselves. Don't miss this. In our zeal to obey Caesar, we have given to Caesar that which belongs to God. We have made the church into a corporation that is under the jurisdiction of the IRS, when the church should only be under the jurisdiction of the headship of Christ. So my last message to you, dear American family, is this. Don't let this illegal law silence you. God has called you to be the pillar holding up the truth. He's called us to be salt and light. You know, when the gospel first came into the world, the Sanhedrin commanded the apostles to stop preaching, and they were the governing authorities. But the apostles responded, "We must obey God rather than men." You know, the apostles did not have a First Amendment, but they had a great commission, and so do we. And this, dear family, is a new video that I plan to make. So in closing, why does this matter to me? After all, I'm leaving the USA, right? Again, I want to encourage you, American Christians, to stand. You lead the world. In the 19th century, the international language was French. And the only reason the international language today is English is because of you, America. Your great nation has done so much good in this world, possibly more good than any other nation before, because of the strong Christian influence in your history. But today, American influence is becoming a terrible conduit for evil. I want to share these words, and they are harsh, and I ask you to weigh them. They're from Luke chapter 17. Jesus said, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It will be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." Dear American church, there are godless people using the name of your nation to cause little ones to stumble. And I urge you, I beg you, be God's pillar, be salt and light, because only you, God's church, can save America. So I plan to make this video, and I ask you to support this ministry. But this subject I share today is far bigger than my little ministry. Your founding fathers taught that America needs a strong church to survive, and they were right. I ask you, stand up for God. Stand up for America. Because when America does what God said and is blessed, the world will be too. Thank you very much.